ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today morning reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Chapter 13 entitled The Descendants of Dhruva Maharaj and text number 13 Pushpanasya Prabha Bharya Pushpanasya Prabha Bharya Dosha Chadve Babu Vatu Dosha Chadve Babu Vatu Pratar Madhyan Dinam Sayam Pratar Madhyan Dinam Sayam Iti hi Asan Prabhasuta Iti asan prabhasuta. Word to word meaning Pushpanasya of Pushpana Prabha Prabha Bharya wife Dosha Dosha Cha also Dve two Babu Vatu, where? Prata, Prata. Madhyandinam, Madhyandinam. Sayam, Sayam. Iti, thus. He, certainly. Asan, where? Prabha Sutta. Son of Prabha. Translation. There is no purport. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Pushpana had two wives named Prabha and Dosha. Prabha had three sons named Pratar, Madhyandinam and Sayam. So we'll continue reading the verses. Text number 14. Pradosha Nishito Vyusta iti dosha suta strayo Vyusta sutam pushkarinyam sarvatejasam ada ade. Translation. Dosha had three sons, Pradosha, Nishita and Vyusta. Vyusta's wife was named Pushkarini and she gave birth to a very powerful son named Sarvateja. Text 15 and 16. Sa sakshu sutam akyutyam Patnya manum avapaha manor asuta mahisi virajan nadvala sutan purum kutsam tritam dyumnam satyavantam rutam vratam agnistomam atiratram pradyumnam sibim ulmukam. Sarvateja's wife Akuti gave birth to a son named Sakshusha, who became the sixth Manu at the end of the Manu millennium. Nadvala, the wife of Sakshusha Manu, gave birth to the following faultless sons: Puru, Kutsa, Trita, Dyumna, Satyavan, Rita, Vrata, Agnistoma, Atiratra, Pradyumna, Sibi, and Ulmuka. Ulmuko Janayat Putran, Pushkarinyam Sad Utmam, Utmam, Angam Sumanasam, Kyatim, Kratum Angirasam, Gayam. Translation, text 17. Of the 12 sons, Ulmuka begot 6 sons in his wife Pushkarini. They were all very good sons and the name were Anga, Sumana, Kyati, Kratu, Angira and Gaya. Text 18. Sunitangasya ya patni susuve venam ulbanam yat dau silyat cha rajarshi nirvinno niragat purat. Translation. The wife of Anga, Sunita, gave birth to a son named Vena, who was very crooked. The saintly king Anga was very disappointed with Vena's bad character, and he left home and kingdom and went out to the forest. Text 19 and 20. Yam Anga sepu kupita vagvajra munayo kila gata shostasya bhuyaste mamantu dakshinam karam araja ke tada loke dashubi pidita prajaha jato narayanam sena pratur adhya shitishwaraha. Translation. My dear Vidura, when great sages curse, their words are as invincible as a thunderbolt. Thus, when they cursed King Vena out of anger, he died. After his death, since there was no king, all the rogues and thieves flourished. The kingdom became unregulated and all the citizens suffered greatly. On seeing this, the great sage took the right hand of Vena as a churning rod. And as a result of their churning, Lord Vishnu, in his partial representation, made his advent as King Prithu, the original emperor of the world. Purport. Vice Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Monarchy is better than democracy because if the monarchy is very strong, the regulative principles within the kingdom are upheld very nicely. Even 100 years ago in the state of Kashmir in India, the king was so strong that if a thief were arrested in his kingdom and brought before him, the king would immediately chop off the hands of the thief. As a result of this severe punishment, there were practically no theft cases within the government, within the kingdom. Even if someone left something on the street, no one would touch it. The rule was that the things would be taken away only by the proprietor and that no one else would touch them. In the so-called democracy, wherever there is a theft case, the police come and take note of the case. But generally, the thief is never caught, nor is any punishment offered to him. As a result of incapable government, at the present moment, thieves, rogues and cheaters are very prominent all over the world.
Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Salakya Sakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrichatam Sagana Ramatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Sa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataru Besha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all Vaishnavas assembled here, I'd like to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. For my own purification. Very happy to be here in Melbourne. I was away for some time, but wonderful thing is that Association of Devotees. So when you are back in Association of Devotees, you have great energy and enthusiasm to perform devotional service. So that I can practically realize, because I had some very difficulty, staying away from association of devotees, it's very difficult to perform devotional service by alone. So obviously, you know, Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir is everyday festival here. And quite a few activities of devotional service happening, you know, every day. So it's very, different experience taking part in devotional service. So here in the purport, Prabhupada, explains about the different form of government. So you see here monarchy and democracy. At the present also you can see certain nation follow democracy and certain nation follow monarchy. So there is absolute monarchy also is prevalent. You know, if you see the Middle East, most of the Middle East countries and everything, they have their dynasty, they have their king, and the ruler, you know, is pretty much the decision maker. Here, the in this episode also, Dhruva's son, he had two sons, Utkala. He was a Mahabhagavat. He is not interested in worldly affairs. He sees the super soul in everything and everything in super soul. So he is a Samadarshana, he is a Mahabhagavat, and he is in the platform of Nirvana. He is a transcendental realized soul. So even though he appeared to be mad and not very much intelligent, which is like the fire covered with ashes. So you can see like Jarabharat, so many characters and devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam who exhibit this kind of his. So monarchy is better than democracy. Why? Because, you know, there is the thieves and rogues are checked, so that, you know, there is no disturbance to the citizens. So, you know, in India, you know, if you are from India, it's completely democracy where all the peoples are elect. And the leaders also, you know, they are, deserved by the people because they are not very, you know, spiritually inclined. Obviously, the kings are Rajarishis. Rajarishi means they are greatly learned and also very spiritually inclined. Great sages. And they are very Kshatriya in nature. So in fact, Dhruva Maharaj, he is also a Rajarishi. But the government, you know, when I was in India, so one of the political leader passed away. So he was ruling almost like 25 years and he was in the, you know, he was elected by the people around like 55 years. Whole life he was a leader. But then when he passed away, there was almost like a riot, you know, people were chaos and they want to, you know, burn the city down just because he was, you know, passing away. Because they are not completely aware that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. And in fact, before he is passing, he was, you know, he left his body, he was in the bed like a vegetable for 2 years. So completely, you know, he can't do anything. So even if he comes in life, he will still be in the bed in the life system. So people, you know, completely in ignorant, thinking that he is the great savior. So this is the condition of democracy. So there was one story that there was one person. He was in a petrol pump. So he was putting petrol and he was watching. Some men was working. So these two people come, this one person digging a hole, and then he is moving 100 meters and then he is digging another hole. So like that he was doing. Then after a few minutes, there was another person who was coming, and then he is filling mud in that hole, whichever he did, he was putting the mud back and closing. So like that they were doing and going. This person thought, what they're doing? This person, digging a hole, and then after a few minutes, the other person coming and, filling that hole with the same mud. And then he was like little, disturbed. He called this person, come here, what are you guys doing here? He said, we are government employees, we work for government. So he said, so what, you are digging the hole, and after some time, he is putting the mud. So he said, see, actually, we are three in number. We three people work together. Yeah. First, myself, I dig the hole. And the second person put a tree plant. And the third person come and put the mud. Now the second person is absent. He is sickly. Just because he is leave, you should not think that we are not doing the job properly. Because we are government employers, we have to do job properly. So that's why I am digging the hole and he is covering with the mud. So the government, is little bit like that. There was one person, he want to know about, God existence. He want to know about the existence of God. So he thought, better I'll go to India. Because India, is a land of spirituality, land of gods. So he went there, and then he was, going to different places. Then he was going back to his country. So that time the reporter caught him, excuse me sir, you came to India for a particular reason. Have you found something? He said, yes, God exists. He said, how? Because I went to government office, no one works there, but still the government is running. That shows, the God exists here in this country. So, whether it is monarchy or democracy, that doesn't matter. Because that is not the strength of India or Bharatvarsha. The real opulent and the real wealth of India is the spirituality. And of course, Mahaprabhu told this. Whoever has taken birth in India, their responsibility is to give this knowledge of Krishna consciousness to everyone in this world. That is the real duty of person taking birth in Bharatvarsha. Now, of course, I was in Jagannath Puri, Radha Yatra, and in Vrindavan, wherever you go, the importance of Dham, you can, realize that all the people all over the world are there. This is because just by one person who spread this message, that is Srila Prabhupada. If you really see the greatness of the place and the greatness of the, Krishna consciousness, completely unaware if Srila Prabhupada would have not come out of Vrindavan. So we are eternally grateful to that personality who have followed the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread the message. So that is the, if you focus on the government, if you focus on many aspects from India, that may not be the unique selling point. So that's the key, that the spirituality is the thing. So here you can see that Vidura is explaining about the descendant of Dhruva Maharaj. So why this chapter mainly focus on King Anga and Vena. But before that, how do we end up here? So Srimad Bhagavatam, if you see, or any Vedic literature, is mainly of question and answers. Proper question asked for the welfare of devotees and general populace, and perfect answer is given for self-realization. So here, in the previous chapter, when Dhruva Maharaj, went back to Vaikuntha Loka, so Narada Muni, who is always broadcasting the devotional, the glories of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam is all about that. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the character, reputation and the fame and the glory of His devotees. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is. So then Narada Muni is travelling and glorifying the Dhruva Maharaj story. So he went to the sacrifice which is performed by Prachetas. There he spoke the three verses which is summarizing the Dhruva Maharaj pastime. Now Vidura, who is hearing this story from Maitreya, is totally captivated, and his devotional emotion is increased, and he is asking, okay, now who are these Prachetas? What sacrifice they are doing? Whose sons are these Prachetas? Who are they? And you went to the sacrifice of Prachetas and you explained the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now kindly explain me what were the glories, what are the pastime you were talking in the assembly of Prachetas. Now explain to me. So because of this eagerness and because of this question, then we come to this chapter. So then Maitreya explained about the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, how, Vatsara got married, then he got son. So he explained generation after generation. Then 7th and 8th generation talks about King Anga and Vena. Now this eagerness. So this is eagerness to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the key. This eagerness is the price we pay to conquer the unconquerable. So the if you see, even by hearing about Krishna, or from Krishna, spoken about Krishna or spoken by Krishna, our unalloyed love for Krishna actually increases. This is the key. Just by hearing, definitely if you see in normal day-to-day life also, if you continuously hearing about some personality, continuously reading about some personality or hearing about that personality, then natural attraction, natural inclination for that personality increases. Like, that person did like this, this person donated so much money, he has done so much favor, he has constructed, hospital, he has constructed this, he is very famous. So if we continuously hear about that personality, then the natural attraction for that person increases. This is very natural. So similarly, by hearing the glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we have developed the natural inclination. Now, Dhruva Maharaj is just a 5-year-old boy. And he is not famous because of, he is a great Rajarishi, he is the king, He is famous because he has conquered the Supreme Lord who is unconquerable. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a verse. So the verse says that many people come and offer prayers in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, the Lord is pleased when someone chastise the Lord out of anger, out of pure love for the Lord, that pleases more than normally people are offering a lot of prayers to the Supreme Lord. Now again, that does not, you know, make us go again, you know, chastise Krishna, or, you know, there's a big disclaimer. That comes naturally. First we have to be submissively hear from bona fide spiritual master. That is our process. The process is, first we are given the name Das, Dasi. You are a servant of Krishna, you are a servant of, you know, so, you know, the spiritual master, servant of devotee, servant, you know. So first we are submissively hearing from the spiritual master, from the bona fide authorities. Then it slowly, you know, evolve to that stage where we can love Krishna and chastise Krishna. So like, for example, we can see in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, take my chariot to there, put my chariot here, do this, do that. Or, you know, Mother Yashoda taking a stick and chastising Krishna. Because they conquered the unconquerable. So Dhruva Maharaj also, great personality, elevated to such position because he has conquered the Supreme Personality of Godhead by submissively hearing from his bona fide spiritual master, who is Narada Muni. So that is his greatness. That's why Dhruva Maharaj is so popular. And not only that, he is such a determined that he has conquered, or he has elevated to such position in only one life. One may ask this, okay, you know, I am hearing, I am in the process of Krishna consciousness. How long? Dhruva Maharaj did in 6 months, which is not easily possible to even great king. So Prabhupada said, kings like Bharat Maharaj, for him it took 3 lifetimes. Even though he was a great king, great Rajarishi, for him it took 3 lives to attain the same position, elevate and go to Vaikuntha Loka, Krishna Loka. But Dhruva Maharaj did that in just one life. So even, you know, Prabhupada write that Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj wanted his disciple, everyone, to go back to Godhead in one life, in the very same life. So this gives a lot of inspiration, you know, that we can perfect our life in one lifetime. So that is the eagerness, and that eagerness, that hearing about Krishna, one develops the unalloyed love. See, if you see the pastime, or, you know, the devotees, or, you know, the Srila Prabhupada, or, you know, six Goswamis, or great personality in our line, they gave up everything for this one, that, you know, whatever their position, whatever material acquisition, or, you know, fame, power, prestige, gave up to hear about Krishna and to glorify about Krishna. They 24/7. How is it possible? One can hear about Krishna, you know, here you can see Vidura is never satisfied and never satiated. He wants to continuously hear. Not only that, not only the hearer, even the speaker, he is more enthusiastic to speak about Krishna. So Prabhupada write that this is, you know, you can see nowadays that chanting of Hare Krishna. So chanting of Hare Krishna is only the 3 words, Hare, Rama and Krishna. But you can go on chanting 24/7. So if you've been to Vrindavan, or if you go to Dham, there you can see, you know, 24-hour kirtan. 24/7, singing all the time the glories of Krishna. So 24/7, we can answer, for example, Srila Prabhupada. 24/7, he left, you know, his sleep, you know, eating, sleeping, continuously glorifying, writing transcription, translation and purport for Srimad Bhagavatam. That is also a type of kirtan. Now, one should not imitate the acharyas or the great personalities. But it shows an example that there is something alternative from this material happiness. That gives us a hope. That gives us an example point. There is something is there. So if you really see, Krishna consciousness is very mystical and very subjective. It is a kind of a personal journey one go through in Krishna consciousness. So we have experience, we have a taste of material happiness and lot of desires in our heart. But once who have come to Krishna consciousness and who have practiced for some years, they know that that is not going to give, if I go back, that is not going to be the same. Because the Krishna consciousness is a something that have a satisfaction in your heart and also it's exponentially increasing in happiness. So if you just, you know, have experience, like for example, we had this great festival, and of course there is going to be a great festival coming this weekend. Just by present in this environment where, you know, the deities are worshipped very gorgeously, the abhishek, the kirtan, all this association of devotees singing Hare Krishna, this experience you will not get, you know, if you go to a bar or a discotheque or, you know, nightlife. So, you know, in catering, if you see, we go to this catering and everyone have this t-shirt, Nirvana. Even though it's a band or, you know, music. So in Tamil, Nirvana means naked. So their kind of spiritual realization is, you know, like free, that you are, you know, naked, completely passed out. They don't know what the reality is. And sabotage themselves, you know, for some hours, that they lose control and they think this is the highest realization. Basically, you know, it's like going back to, you know, animalistic life. Like, you know, you are in the forest, in the middle of the forest, no water, no, you know, like a proper place to stay, and bare minimum clothes in your body. And then, you know, eating whatever is available, rubbish. So basically you are training yourself to become animal. And you have to pay money for that. Yeah. It's an expensive ordeal. You pay a lot of hundreds and thousands of dollars to experience that, you know. And which is, you know, which is going to last for some time. And still, you know, you will have this emptiness in your heart. Because this Krishna consciousness, you know, chanting in association of devotees, something which is not of this world, something which is different from bodily pleasure and bodily experience. Because you can relate to it, you can easily understand that this is going to, you know, increase. So for example, if you are staying in kirtan, 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, is not that, you know, enthusiasm or your energy level is going down, because you are directly connected to the Supreme Lord through the devotional service. So that is what important. That is what, you know, we can see by performing or by hearing continuously. So we can take this example of the life of Goswamis or the great devotees in the line of Krishna consciousness, that perfect example showing that there is some alternative happy life than what is offered in this material world. So I'd like to stop here and see if anyone have any correction or questions. Yeah.
Thank you for asking. I remembered like reading in the sixth canto when it speaks about the descendants of Daksha, after he took birth again.
Yeah.
It's one of Daksha's daughter, she took to Chakshusha Manu. And he has mentioned that Chakshusha Manu took birth as the in the line of Dhruva Maharaj. So how is it possible?
So it could be different Sakshuma, you know, Sakshusha. You mean the Manu?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sakshusha Manu, see the Bhagavatam, if you see, it's about the Manu only. Like right now we are seeing the descendant of Swayambhuva Manu.
Yes,
huh? So this story, you know, if you see, it's correct because after, you know, we take break, you know, explaining about Devahuti and then we explain about Dhruva, then we go to the other son of Uttanapad, that is Priyavart in 5th canto. Then again come back to 6th canto about Sakshusha Manu. Then 8th and 9th, different Manu. Then 10th canto when Krishna is saying, then different Manu. 7th Manu, which is the current Manu. So could be that, or it could be different Manu also. To my understanding is that this Manu is the same as the 6th Manu which is explained there. You mean the Daksha descendant and this descendant same name? Is that right you are saying?
Like how is it possible the same person takes birth and no one's from?
See, I was reading this and there was name, one name, I forgot what is the name. Pushkarni, I think. Yeah, Pushkarni. So here you see, there is Dosha and Dosha had 3 sons and one of the sons married to wife named Pushkarini. Okay. And then he gave birth to son Sarvateja. Then Sarvateja gave son Sakshusha like that. Then in that, you know, one of the sons married to another, you know, Ulmukha, that is 11th, 12th son, begot his son in his wife Pushkarini. Same name. Now, how come, you know, it's like grandmother. So that is, so you can't say, okay, this Pushkarni and that Pushkarni, same. Same letter, same dot, same, all the Sanskrit names are same. So, here it says, Sakshusha, in a clearly translation says, who became the 6th Manu at the end of the millennium. But the 6th canto Sakshusha, I don't know, maybe I have to read. The name can be same, you know. But the personality can be different. Maybe that answers the question, or because here you can see Pushkarni. After third generation, same wife, name is Pushkarni.
Yeah.
Understand? You want to add something? Yeah, that daughter name is Akuti, no?
Oh, I don't know her name.
Akuti is the daughter of Daksha, right?
Akuti, Prasuti. No, that's
Prasuti, Devahuti,
and
different Daksha. Okay. Here, Sakshusha wife, mother name is Akuti. If that daughter name is Akuti, then possible. I'm not very good in what it is called dynasty mapping and things like that. Wife of Daksha. So you can do some research on this. But as far as I concerned, this Sakshusha is the same as 6th Manu, but that Sakshusha, I don't know. Is this name correct?
Yes.
Sakshusha with S dot or? Okay. Okay, you can check that out. Okay. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.